in the swing. Pull in the swing. Pull in the swing. Pull in the swing tech show.
Good evening.
Hi, folks, this is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys? Or, I wonder if they would review my product? Or, why don't they talk about this? Or, maybe, I sure would like to support these fellas somehow? Or just, how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net and let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by pointing your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel Pound Tech Show. Hope to see you there.
Hey, hey, Dan cutting in here. Do you have any questions, comments, complaints? Don't like what Alan said last time? Feel free to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. Do you live in or around Bethlehem, Pennsylvania? Plan on being in the area some Wednesday night? If so, and you would like to join us in the studio, we would love to have you. Again, email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. Linux is a community project. Being a community project, it tends to foster regular gatherings of Linux enthusiasts who collectively call themselves Linux users groups. Chances are, there is a Linux users group in your area. We here at the Tech Show belong to the Lehigh Valley Linux users group, so if you hail from the area, come join us. Membership is free and fraught with fun. If you're new to Linux, then consider checking out our sister organization, the Linux Special Interest Group, run by LVLUG member Jeff Sartler. The Linux SIG caters to newbies and runs hands-on labs. If you are south of us, be sure to look up the Bucks County Linux Users Group or the Philadelphia Linux Users Group. Those to the east, there's the New Jersey Linux Users Group. More information can be found at thelinuxlink.net, which strives to be the unofficial portal to Linux and Linux happenings in the Lehigh Valley. If you find yourself in one of those rare locations that is not conveniently near any Linux Users Group, get your name and desires out there on the web. Contact the closest lugs, and chances are you will find neighbors who are looking to get together. All you need is a few enthusiastic people and a place to meet, be it a living room, basement, library, or local pub. You will meet new people, learn some stuff, and have boatloads of fun. So remember, support your local users groups. Finally, we here at the Linux Link Tech Show thank you for listening, and hope you enjoy this episode as much as we enjoyed putting it together. Well, I'm back now. My mic sounds a little loud. I'm going to turn it down for you guys. Link is on his way. But right now, I get to start off the tech show and have it all to myself. And you might be thinking, well, where's Alan? Who's Alan? Who cares about Alan? Nobody wants Alan on the show anymore. Alan had to work late. I think we actually have a new listener. Because I'm running the show solo, it's hard for me to keep track of everything. But I think Joe from work might be listening. And I thank her for listening. And if she was a real tech person, she wouldn't be on AOL Instant Messenger. She would be on the IRC chat, like the rest of you should be. And if you're not on the IRC chat tonight, or if you're listening to this from the archive,
feel free to go to our archive section, and you can download the chat of the previous night or the show that you're listening to, and you can follow along. Not only do you get an audio representation, but also a visual representation of what is going on and all the stuff that you're missing. All the stuff that you're missing on the chat, if you're not on the chat when we're chatting and listening. Anyway, it is a wonderful January 28th, 2004. We got hit by a fairly big snowstorm yesterday, hence the reason for Link being a little late. He had to dig his car out. While the rest of us were digging our cars out this morning to go to work, Link had the pleasure of being able to work from home, and I guess he didn't dig his car out. But I wish him the best of luck and speed, safe speed, on his way here. This past week's been pretty exciting. I played a heck of a lot of Zelda. We got the Zelda Collector's Edition, Classic Collector's Edition, in the mail, which I got for subscribing to the Nintendo Power. It has the original Legend of Zelda, the second Legend of Zelda that was on the Super Nintendo, that was a side-scroller Zelda, for those of you who don't know. Then there was the Ocarina of Time for Nintendo 64, and finally Majora's Mask, which I had never played before, and I'm playing through right now with my daughter, and she will not let me rest when I'm around. I have to play that game constantly. And I think I played a little too much these past couple of days because I got that video game headache. Excellent. Fun, fun, fun. But the most fun was had at the Linux World Expo on Friday. And I'm sure when Link gets here, he's going to have a whole mouthful to talk about. But now's my time to discuss my feelings about the Linux Expo and how it was for me, which I must say, I've been to four of them now. This one was the absolute best for me. I loved it. Now, the swag wasn't as plentiful, but the swag that was available was pretty good. Got a couple of T-shirts, and I scored a USB pen drive, 32 megs. It's a pen drive in a pen. Cap comes off. So that was pretty cool, and I got it home, plugged it. Linux popped it up right away, not a problem. The only problem was when I mounted that drive, the company that gave them away as prizes had their presentations on there. Cool, right? Wrong. They used PowerPoint, and that is a shame. No company should have used PowerPoint when OpenOffice is impressed or StarOffice is impressed is a viable, even better alternative. Shame them. Shame, shame, shame. But aside from pen drives, I picked up a handful of pens, regular pens. I'm looking at the remains of my awesome HP Linux Penguin on a keychain that my youngest daughter decided to maul. He is missing his face, his flippers, and all that's left is half his head on his chewed up body. But I have the pieces. And maybe I can put him back together. Maybe I can rebuild him. Maybe. Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know if you can glue this stuff. Excellent. Well, what went on at the Linux World Expo? As soon as you walk through the door, you hit by the quad four, the quad barrel shotgun of Linux awesomacity, HP, IBM, SUSE, and pulled all together by Novell. They were the big four there. Now, Red Hat was there and Oracle was there, but front and center was definitely HP, IBM, SUSE, and Novell. Because those four are actually working together to bring a whole breadth of Linux solutions, not only to the business world, the enterprise, but also eventually to the desktop for the masses. It was awesome. I'll get back to them in just a minute, but I will say that Red Hat was there, like I said, but they were about the only distro, SUSE and Red Hat, that were there.
unfortunately, there wasn't any Slackware. Mandrake was absent. And Turbo Linux, we weren't in the Asia, so they weren't there. They were mentioned by Novell, but they were not there. Debian was there, which was good to see them back in the .org booths, along with Gentoo. And that was great. Really good. The tech show, the Linux show, I'm sorry, the Linux show was there. Actually got to meet the Linux show guys face-to-face, and it was great, and I appreciate the feedback they gave us and suggestions. They are a wonderful bunch of guys. They had some really cool stuff that they were giving away. And so I appreciate all that they had given us. I am getting feedback that I'm dead air right now. So if anybody's out there listening and you're on the IRC, let me know. It might just be a problem with cable modems. Because I think Jen, Joe, who is listening, is on a cable modem. And we have problems with cable modems, just like the Linux show has problems with people on cable modems. It'll be interesting to figure out exactly what that is. But I'm derailing from the track that we were so rapidly going down with excitement. The Linux World Expo 2004, Jacob Javits, New York City. Unfortunately, the last Linux show that will be held in New York City. Next year it will be Boston, which means an even bigger road trip. But the lug, courtesy of Jim, and I don't know his last name, but Jim, if you're listening on the archives, you know who you are, and I thank you, was able to acquire for us a nice little van, a limo-type van, which we eagerly took to, but unfortunately broke down as we got into New Jersey on 78. But that's okay. They sent a new one, and it gave us time to break out the brewskis. And lo and behold, my excitement, when I opened up that little cooler they had sodas in there and saw not only the number one beer in America, but the number one light beer in America, too, Dakota. Dakota Kick and Dakota Kick Light. That's some good drinking. Good, wholesome drinking. I picked up a case of that stuff, the Dakota Kick, for $4.99 at the first Linux Link, I'm sorry, the LV Lug picnic. And man, everybody who drank that got a headache afterwards. Even me. Except my dad. That stuff was laying around in a cooler for a while. It must have gone skunky. Ended up in my parents' house somehow, and my dad said, that was some good beer. I don't know why you were throwing that away. Well, lucky we were able to sample the Dakota Kick. Now, Jeff Sartler decided he had to be better than everybody else and bring a case of Molson. Golden. Now, that's some good beer, but it's no Dakota Kick. And needless to say, by the time I got to New York City, I had a good 3 or 4 Dakota Kicks and at least one Molson. So I was pretty happy because this trip itself took about 2 hours with an additional half an hour, 45 minutes of the layover there. Unintentional. But we got there and the van door kept popping open. And ladies and gentlemen, I would announce right now that Link has made it. And in a few short minutes, he'll be plugged in. And he'll be able to enjoy telling you about his adventures and my stink.
And you're so, not getting dead air, by the way. You're
I didn't think I was getting dead air. Like I say, it's those people on the damn cable modems. I had a friend of mine, Jeremy, who used to work with us. He comes to the lug meetings, told me that he listened live on a dial-up connection, didn't have a problem. So if a dial-up connection can hold it, why cannot a cable modem? Anyway, I was talking about Linux World Expo, and I'm going to take a pause for a minute because I know that Link's going to want to build some repartee back and forth as about the show and some of our disagreements over there. And I don't think it was Dakota Kick, but I could have sworn there was a Bill Gates lookalike there. And I stand by my word there. It was not the Dakota. It was Bill Gates lookalike. And I figured he'd be at the Microsoft booth. And I peeked over there. I didn't see him. But I wasn't stupid enough to actually go in the Microsoft area. I don't need their crap. I don't want to use their crap. So I stayed away from their crap. Unfortunately, you couldn't get away from it if you picked up a copy of SysAdmin magazine. Because in there is, what is it? Windows, no, Unix Services for Windows. The free full version copy. Screw them. That goes right in the garbage. Most of my CDs I recycle when I'm done with them. I take them to a teacher at work who collects them for some reason. Has them up around his classrooms. Those CDs go right in the garbage. Break and go right in the garbage. Pieces of crap. I hate them. Don't want them. Don't like them. Anyway. We're talking about Linux World Expo. I'm going to be plugging Link in here. I'm not going to be plugging Alan. Alan's not here tonight. But Link is. And Link is coming on in just a second. Let me turn on. You should be on.
I should be on. I should be on, right?
Yeah, you're
everybody
on.
Everybody hear me?
There we go.
All right. Hi, everybody. I got a little laid up in the snow. I know Dan told you I was listening to him via my handy-dandy wife/cell phone concoction on the way over. That is, of course, to call your wife on the cell phone and have her hold the phone out in front of the speakers on the computer. Seemed to work pretty well. Sorry, kinda. And if you're still listening, hon, thanks.
It was thank you to your wife.
Yeah.
For holding that phone up.
For holding the phone up, man, so that I could pay attention to what was going on before I actually got here. I mean, I might even be able to join in the chat at some point in time today after my... of course, I got here and stuck my laptop up on the World Federation wrestling table that we have. And it seems that I have mounted my hard drive 21 times, which, of course, is forcing a file system check at this point in time. So, fear not. I will very shortly join the IRC chat.
Don't rush, man. It's just me and your wife.
You and my wife. The only two people listening, right? Who else is listening? Who else is on tonight?
Me and your wife.
And that's it?
You mean listening?
No, I mean on IRC. I don't know who's listening.
Your wife and myself. I got somebody on instant messaging, but, you know, these people don't know how to use IRC.
No.
Got to use instant messaging. I prefer...
On instant messaging?
Yeah.
It's AIM or something like that?
Yeah, a friend from work.
Oh.
Hey, any way we can get less listeners?
Hey, well, yeah, just, you know, well, yeah, that's something that you can show them, then you can, you know...
That's
avail
right.
Yourself of the wonders of IRC.
There's so much fun and excitement. But we have somebody from Toronto listening.
Cool.
I think it's Toronto.
Welcome, Canada. Oh, Canada.
So that makes one, your wife, two, three connections. Interesting. Three connections.
Good. We're doing good. Hey,
yes.
We're doing good. The simple fact that I actually made it here means that we're doing good with the crappy day that I had. So,
tell us about your crappy day, Link.
The crappy day that I had. All right. Well, I'm still waiting for my laptop to reboot once again. Of course, we had Dan told you we had a pretty bad snowstorm yesterday.
Who's that beeping?
That snowed me in. It's my laptop.
Oh.
Pulling out the PCM CIA card. And anyway, we got some snow, and we got snowed in, and my daughter had her school canceled. So, of course, I stayed home and, you know, worked from home, as I can do occasionally. And since I was working from home, of course, I didn't get out to shovel the car off or anything like that, because, you know, I have to be working, and I'm on... they use instant messaging, too, and they get awful irritated if you say you're working from home and they instant message you and you don't respond promptly. So you have to kind of sit right there and do your thing and answer questions as they pop up. But anyway, I digress.
Linux World Expo, man. I gave up my initial impressions, my excitement over the big four that I saw there. I know your good buddies at Red Hat were there.
And my good buddies. You know, they were giving out Fedora CDs. Did you get those? They had a little package they were giving away.
Yeah,
a little magazine thing.
That's, what is that, Open Wide Magazine or something?
Right, but there was no magazine in it, but it was just like three Fedora CDs. Fedora Release 1 or something like that.
Right. Well, they said that if you subscribe, it's wide open, right? Not open wide. But we'll call it Open Wide because it sounds bigger.
Open Wide sounds
apparently good. If you subscribe to Open Wide Magazine, you will get an update of Fedora on CD every time an update's released. And whenever they update the engine or whatever the packages. That's all great, but I'm not going to be using it.
I'm not either. I thought I might install it on my spare machine, but as luck would have it, my spare machine is in use now. Because of the rest of my crappy day.
I'm sorry to hear that.
But anyway, the rest of my crappy day goes something like this, right? So I'm working from home, and I didn't get a chance to clean my car off, and I start using my computer in the morning, and I'm good. I'm doing my thing along, and I went back in, and I think I went back in and jumped in the shower or something like that, and my wife called me and said that the browser had locked up, or my computer locked up, she put it. I got out, and sure enough, you know, the browser's locked up, and I was using I think she was using Mozilla. But it's all locked up and hung good. And I'm checking it out, right? I can't stop the thing. So I whip over to my one of my virtual terminals that I have set up. I pump out all my log messages to it so I can keep track of things. And I look at the logs, and it's saying that it's having all these read errors, sector read errors and byte read errors on my hard drive. So my hard drive is toast, I'm figuring, right? Because this happened maybe 3-4 days ago. I had a couple quick read errors, and I did a file system check on the drive, and everything came out cool. And I figured, you know, it was just one of them things. Perhaps I created a, you know, weird file or something like that, and everything was good, but now it's just spitting them out left and right. And I had noticed over the last few days that my computer seemed like it was getting slower and slower. And, of course, this is the problem. But anyway, I took it down, ran another file system check on it, said it had it said it had errors that it could not fix by default, so it popped me into single-user mode, and I had to run it again. And I got in there, and my partition HDA1, which happens to be my root partition, it's all hosed up. And it took me a good, maybe an hour, to get the thing up and running again. Just enough that I could make sure I did, you know, a quickie final backup deal and got all my config files off and stuff like that, because most of the files that were corrupted are in the bin directory, so. But anyway, that was how my morning went. And then I decided that what I really wanted to do, and what I have been wanting to do for a while now, is to, this particular computer that I had, my server, is also my main workstation. And I ran, you know, I ran a web server on it, and I ran, used it for my main workstation stuff, and I ran all kinds of things on this thing. Just my, you know, my regular default workstation deal, plus my web server and that kind of, my ADSL connection and all that. And I decided a long time ago that what I really wanted to do was, one, I wanted to upgrade to the new Slackware 9.1.
Yeah.
And two, I wanted to break those services up so that I was actually running a server with the server services on it, and then I would just use, you know, my box for my regular, you know, my regular workstation stuff so that everything ran quicker and cleaner and all of that business. And, you know, occasionally I could shut my workstation down and maybe do an upgrade or some kind of thing like that. You just can't do that when you're running a server. But today kind of prompted me with that opportunity because, you know, my hard drive is going to crash anytime again, and everything's going to go down, so why not fix it and do it right? So after I finally got my computer back up again, I spent the rest of the day up until, when did I leave, 20, 25, 30 minutes ago, beating on my new server trying to get everything to work right, and I still am having a really weird problem. I'd love for anybody to give me some hints or suggestions on. I installed Slack 9.1 on this thing. Just perfect. Not a problem whatsoever. Even walked away during the install. Everything was cool. Everybody was happy. The problem that I have is that the same CD-ROM that I installed the operating system on now does not want to work. Like, originally when the computer came up, of course, it's using, the CD-ROM is on HDC, and it's using HDC and the FDFS tab as the mount point. And then a little later on, I added the IDE SCSI in the LILO, okay, and then re-ran LILO and rebooted the computer, so it's supposed to be on SR0 now, according to my D message. And I changed that in the dev CD-ROM link in the dev directory, and I also changed the information appropriately in the etcfs tab. But now, when I try and mount a CD-ROM, it tells me that I have either a bad super block or bad mount options or too many file systems mounted or one of those kind of things. And I really have no idea why. I played with it for a couple of minutes and then I started coming right over here. So.
Well, I know when I spoke with you the last time, you were getting your Bulldog UPS monitoring software going.
That was another problem.
And after that, the CD-ROM went?
When I was getting a Bulldog running, I was going to pull the Bulldog software off CD-ROM.
Right.
And I tried mounting the CD-ROM, and that's when I noticed that wouldn't let me mount the CD-ROM. So.
Now, you're not using SCSI emulation, right?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I am.
So it's not finding it?
I changed the SCSI emulation in the LILO. You go into LILO, you put an option in there, HDC equals IDE SCSI kind of thing, you know?
Right.
Well, I did that, and it comes up when you, after it boots up, you look at the D message, and it assigns dev SR0 as a CD-ROM drive. However, when you mount it, all I'm getting is, you know, bad super block and too many file systems mounted, one of those errors, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I don't know what the problem is, but it's really pissing me off. Unless maybe somehow when I changed the FS tab, I got like a control character in the line for FS tab. I'm not sure. It's pissing me off, though.
Damn. But you know what? It's hitting our halfway point. Should we run a quick...
Do you have some music to run?
Yeah, I got some music to run.
Oh, yeah. Bunch of music. Give me
we'll play that.
Get logged in here.
I'm going to take a quick intermission, help some people out. We'll be right back. Keep listening. Thank you for listening. Be back in a minute.
Thank you.
Back.
Woo-hoo.
That was in an instant. And in an instant it plays again. Hold on. Sorry about that. Yeah.
But anyway, what were we talking about?
You were talking about your woes with your computer today.
I was. The CD-ROM thing. Not that anybody's on IRC and can actually help me, you know, but pretty much that's the gist of it. I installed from the CD-ROM. I don't believe that I banged anything around. You know what I mean? The install went great from the CD-ROM. I didn't have any errors that I remember. I finally get the thing up and running. The only thing I did do was use the IDE SCSI driver. Stuck that in LILO, and now all of a sudden I'm getting all kinds of flamboyant errors popping out at me every time I try and, you know, use the CD-ROM, and it won't mount the CD-ROM. So, the only thing I can really think of is, you know, maybe to try pulling that out or something. And, yeah, I mean, it's not a big deal if I don't use the IDE SCSI emulation, I guess. So.
Is it a burner?
No. No, it's just a regular run-of-the-mill generic junk CD-ROM, you know. Nothing to it.
Yeah. And then what?
And then I called you when we tried to hook up this phone thing, and that didn't work, so I came here. And if the phone thing, for those of you who are not enlightened, the phone thing that we're referring to is we're trying to come up with a system whereby an absentee person might be able to call in and do the show over the phone. Now, that particular device is called a phone hybrid or a telecom hybrid or a telephone hybrid, depending on who you ask. But basically, it's a nice little device that has a couple of audio transformers on it and filters out you know, it filters out line noise and electronics buzz and all of that other garbage. And it allows you to connect the telephone to an input that we could use to send the show out. And we have a couple of ideas on how to build one of these devices. Well, we have a couple of really cheap, stupid ones that obviously don't work. Because we tried them all tonight. We have a couple of ideas for getting such a device built. However, we have to wait upon our hardware guru, who is currently affixed with other projects on his plate. So
that's not acceptable.
Yeah, Mark, if you are listening, we really need to have something like this rigged up, man, because this whole, you know, digging myself out of digging out of the spot and getting over here in 10 minutes is just not an acceptable thing.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, we will at some point in time. We'll get something like that going. And I'm sure we can get it working really good. I know the guys over at the Linux show are also trying to get a they're trying to get a professional telecom hybrid. And the one that they're looking at is, I think it's a couple of grand. So they're really expensive deals. But the hardware guy that we have, Mark, guy's quick as a whip, man. And he knows his stuff.
And whipped like a quick.
Yeah, whipped like a quick. And I would imagine that he should be able to come up with something that would function really well for us on an austere budget. But if any of you out there listening happen to know of such a thing, or, you know, some place that we might be able to pick something up like that cheap that we might be able to use in the meantime, please drop us a line and let us know over here at TechShow at TheLinuxLink.net. We would really appreciate it. That's dead air.
Oh, look at that. The dog. The dog's eating out of the kitty litter again.
Woohoo! Snack time. This is a point where Dan and I just pretty much stare at each other. While Dan's clicking away over there, let me give you my impression of the Linux world.
That's what I'm waiting
Expo.
For, man.
All right, man.
I'm waiting.
I'm getting there. Give me my impression of the Linux World Expo. Dan told you all about the trip, which is really funny. Except for the part where it's really cold sitting there, you know, 40 below zero on the highway with no heat in your bus. But anyway, we got there, and of course, like Dan said, they have Novell is there, and they have parked their SUSE close by, and then you have Red Hat there handing out Fedora stuff. Microsoft was there for some unknown reason, smiling. Dan will tell you that Bill Gates was there, however, he was drunk at the time, and I don't believe him. And I really think, like, if Bill Gates was walking around at this thing, I really think that I would have heard a little bit more buzz about it. You know what I mean? It wouldn't be a safe place for him to be.
Dude, I'm telling you, he looked just like him. Just like him. Maybe it was just coincidence that he looked just like him.
Could be.
He was dressed a little geeky, too. Like, purposefully geeky. Dorky.
Like 4,000 Linux geeks there, and there's one guy in particular that was dressed geeky to you.
No. I mean, he was dressed like a dork geek.
Like a dork geek. Okay. In Bill Gates fashion. But no, I thought it was a good show. There was some really interesting stuff going on there. Most notably for me was getting the chance a couple of times to talk with the folks over at the Linux show. And if you're listening, Russ and Jeff, thanks for giving me an ear for a little while and talking with our people and giving us some idea on some things that we can do to improve the show and stuff. And it was cool meeting y'all in person.
It was really neat to meet them.
That was a good thing. And perhaps I put a bug in their ear about perhaps someday we can all get together and do a show. We'll have a, you know, the Linux show slash tech show sort of thing.
But I don't think everybody's going to fit into this room.
No, well, this would have to be a virtual thing, because they do the Linux show via phone lines.
Right.
And, like, these guys are all over the place, and, you know, they're in, what was it, Maryland and Illinois and, you know, somewhere out on the West Coast and stuff like that. They all call in and do this thing together. We conveniently are able to get away with slightly less equipment and bills, phone bills for the kind of thing, because we can actually travel to Dan's Dungeon to partake of the World Wrestling Federation table and just sit around and...
You know what? I'm going to bounce you off this table in a minute.
I'm going to bust you, man.
I'm gonna stand on top of the server right there, and I'm going to do a body slam right on you. And then I'm going to stick my armpit in your face because it's stinking.
This wrestling table we keep talking to you about is, it's one of the folding tables, you know? What is it, like 4 foot long, something like that?
Yes.
5 foot long, not 4 foot long. 4 foot long folding table with, you know.
And filled with 3 feet of crap.
Yeah. And the reason we call it the wrestling table is because you always see these types of folding tables, you know, the ones with the cheap... the cheap wood grain applique on the top. You always see them in the wrestling shows, you know, people beating each other over the, and they do body slams on them and stuff like that. Well, this particular table looks like it has had a body slam or two on it, because there's a significant, probably 4 or 5 inch dip right in the middle of it, you know, across the table. And It's just a funny thing. You know, we have to pick on and make fun of it. But it's still, you know what I mean? We still come in here every week and sit down at the wrestling table, and it's still there, man. It's not going anywhere.
Not if you keep hitting it. It's not going to be.
Bouncing around a little bit. But.
Like, I brought this up at the beginning, but isn't that a pitiful sight?
Oh, dude, someone killed your penguin.
That was my daughter.
Chewed
it apart. I guess so. We're going through that wonderful stage of potty training right now.
Ah.
Not because we want her to, but she wants to. I still think she has a little bit to go, but she's hell-bent on wearing underwear.
Oh.
And she does really good.
My daughter was like that, too. She wanted to wear the fancy panties, she called them.
The fancy panties.
Yeah, and you just can't, you know, you just can't stick like a two-year-old in real underwear unless you plan on cleaning them all the time.
Yeah.
And not only cleaning them, but, like, cleaning up the floor after them and stuff like that. So,
since I've been home from work,
my daughter to do it.
Since I've been home from work, it's been like 3 baths already with her.
Oh, yeah.
But she's doing pretty good.
Hey, they get into the groove pretty soon. I hear that girls are easier to potty train than boys, too, but I haven't had a boy, so I wouldn't know.
I don't know either. I got two little beasts. Beastie beasts. But, dude, what did you think of the presentation of the big names in business at the Linux World Expo?
What do you mean, the big names in business?
We had Novell, IBM, HP.
I didn't...
Intel,
I didn't, like,
AMD.
Stick around and talk with them very much. You know? I talked with... my big focus was going and talk. I really enjoyed talking with the... I probably made a nuisance of myself talking with the guys at the Linux show. And then I went around and talked to some of the smaller guys, like the guys at Pogo Linux. They have some really cool server stuff going on there. Not to mention the fact that I've hassled them about... They have a Linux distribution that I guess is probably just Red Hat or something rebadged. But they have... offered to supply, you know, some CDs, some burnt CDs of this distribution. We can give out at LUG meetings and stuff like that. So I've been talking with them about that. And who else did I talk with? The guys over at X.org, who had the... It's a X-Media server kind of thing going. I can't remember what the name of it is. Shoot. But it was really cool.
A new X server?
It's a media server.
Oh.
That they're working on.
Are you talking about Helix?
No.
Who?
These were the guys at X at the X booth.
At the X.org booth?
Yeah.
Now, X.org is different from X11, right?
No, it's
they're doing the same motif. Is that it? Motif.
I remember the name of it because it was really cool.
Speaking of talking, I noticed that there was an awful lot of European people there, people of the European persuasion. A lot of people with European accents, which was interesting. I didn't have that to that extent last year. European and Australian, too.
Yes, there were some. I did notice some Australian people. Media application server, that's what I was talking about. The folks over at x.org. I don't imagine you had a chance to go check it out.
The media server?
Media application server.
Media application. I saw something going on
that
there.
That is some cool stuff, man. Basically, it's a media server. You start it up on your computer, you can push whatever media you got going on, you know, audio, video, et cetera, push it out to other computers on your network. You know, you just farm it right out. It's pretty cool.
My only regret this year was it seemed like this was the first year that by the end of the show I wanted to stay longer. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had more time.
That
and not because
kick.
Not because the van broke down, but there was just so much going on that I didn't get. Whereas you spent a lot of the time in the back, I spent a lot of the time in the front. And I get a lot of time in the back, as much as I would like to have.
And that's how it's for those of you who don't know, that's how it's set up. Like in the front, they have the really big name dudes, like Novell and Sousa. And
your buddies at Red Hat?
Yeah,
Oracle.
IBM and Red Hat and Oracle and all those people in the front with the really big, you know, the big, huge convention center size displays and stuff like that. And then in the back, they had the tiny little dudes that I was back there visiting. And I would have liked to have stayed longer, too, because I already had, on the onset, I had figured out that there was no way I was going to have time to, like, listen to a whole lot of presentations and stuff like that. So I really didn't listen to any presentations. I visited with a couple of people up front. And then I went and head back to the back part of this stuff where all the little exhibits are, and checked out a bunch of their stuff. But had we had more time, I surely would have sat down up front and listened to IBM and listened to SUSE and Oracle and see what they had to say.
And score some swag.
Yeah.
Freebies.
Some swag. I got some of that anyway, but you know.
Well, next year we won't have to worry about the trip in, because we'll get there the night before.
Yeah, we'll have to get there the night before, because...
and then stay the night of.
Yeah, it's in Boston.
That would be an interesting thing. I am seriously planning on going.
Oh, I'm definitely going, too. So probably you and I are the only two that end up going, but I'm going.
And I'm probably Alan will go, too. What do you think, Alan?
Yeah, I'll go. I can't wait for the hotel room.
Okay. Great. Like, let's change focus for just a second, and I just want to air out my grievances about this damn worm and virus crap going around.
Oh.
It's not enough that you have to get bombarded on a regular basis by infected emails, but now you got to get the bounce back from the virus engines that think you're sending them when your address has been spoofed.
Right.
I'm getting two or three of those a day on my home account. And now at work, alone today, I got three. Never got them before. And now they're coming. I had to send out email to everybody saying, look, you're going to start getting these. Doesn't mean you're infected if you're using a work email.
Right.
It's because your address is being spoofed, and they think it's you. And it's a fault in the software engine. I was talking to Faber online, and he was working for a company that had the same problem. Their mail actually got clogged, their mail server, because of this. And they had
the rejected emails and stuff?
With the rejected emails and then sending the response back, so they had to turn that feature off. And I wish everybody else would turn that feature off.
You know what, there's one particular feature that I wish everybody else would turn off, and that is called Outlook Express.
Why just Outlook
just
Express?
Just Outlook in Outlook particular. You know, you pick your flavor. That is the one feature of any particular operating system that I would like to see turned off permanently. And the reason why is because that is the particular feature that all of these script kiddies and crackers, use to exploit and write their viruses. So for some reason I can't, you know, I run into the same problem that you probably run into at work. I cannot convince these people not to use that software. For one, there really is no, I don't think there's any really good alternative that's not web-based, you know, or browser-based. Like, you can do Mozilla and use Mozilla Mail on
Thunderbird.
Windows, yeah, Thunderbird. But they want, you know, they want their Outlook. They want that kind of an application that they can use without having to start up a browser or whatever.
What about Adora? Isn't there a Pegasus Mail? Is that still
Pegasus
around?
Pegasus stinks. I don't like that. I don't know. People are really stuck on that particular program. Now, Linux, if you're running Linux, you can run like Silphy or something like that, which is a really nice replacement.
Kmail.
Your Kmail or
Evolution.
Yeah.
You got so many choices.
There's a whole bunch of them. Yeah.
Pine.
But, you know, in Windows, they seem to gravitate towards that nasty piece of thing, Outlook. And then, of course, you know, that you get all the virus propagation going on because people are not smart enough to turn off execution of scripts and programs in their email. Really doesn't affect me much because, number one, I run Linux, so even if I was running a GUI client, it wouldn't make any difference. And number two, I actually don't run a GUI client. I run Pine, and Pine is very hard to send a virus through and have it auto-execute. It's also very hard to read your HTML or HTMLized emails from different people, too. But it's a good piece of software. You know what I'd like to hear from any of you people is I have always been looking for a GUI mail client that has a direct text mail, like an ulterior direct text mail client, alternative direct text mail client.
Do you mean something that you can use at home as a GUI and then get into your machine remotely and use the text base?
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. I'd like to be able to use a GUI at home on my workstation at home, but it's not practical for me to try and push that GUI out from home to anywhere else. You know, I like to read my mail at work and stuff, too. And if I'm using Pine, it's cool. You just, you know, jump in. It's a text client. You just whip out Pine and off it goes. But I guess there was maybe at once a GUI version of Pine, but I have not played with it, so.
That's a good point.
But that would be a cool thing, you know what I mean?
But technically speaking, you wouldn't need to have a separate GUI and a separate... I mean, you could use a separate GUI and a separate command line. Couldn't you just
have Pine point to the folders? Yeah, I need to have them on the same folders.
Right. Couldn't you do that, though? Or would it mess each other up?
I haven't tried. It would be really awesome if I could get Silphied and Pine to work like that. Like, do the same kind of folder deal. That would be cool. That would actually be my preference. But I have not tried.
Try it on mine over there and then blow all my email up.
Yeah, well, that's my problem. You know what I mean? I don't want to blow up all my email. And then the other problem I run into is I'm still running... My old mail server is a Spark 20. And I'm running this thing. It's got Red Hat 6.2 on it. And, you know, it really doesn't bother me that it's old and insecure because, you know, it's hanging out on the inside of my network and you can't get to the damn thing. I use Fetch Mail to go out and grab my mail from everywhere in the world and stick it on that server and then serve it out to wherever I want it. But I can't, for some reason, this Red Hat 621 Spark, I cannot get IMAP working. You know what I mean? So it's, man, it's a pain in the butt. And I would love to get IMAP working on this thing and be able to do all of that good stuff, but just, it's not happening. So, but we'll have to try that folder thing with, the folder thing with the Pine and Sylphid or something like that. That would be cool.
Yeah, it would.
Yes, no, maybe.
I'm thinking about that right now. I'm trying to think, what does, what are my folders called? Well, there it is.
I don't know.
That's my folders for Sylphid. So I fire up Pine, and I go to the setup. And you keep talking.
Actually, you know what? Oh, we can save it for next time because it's 22:03.
You think so?
It is, yeah.
It's
the end of show time. Believe it or not. It just seemed like a boy, the show flew by this time, huh?
Yeah, you're telling me.
Right by me because, you know, I was only here for... Well, I was here before that. I was here before halftime, so... It was all right.
Well,
it just seemed to go really fast. I must just go really fast when Alan isn't here to talk. You know what I mean? When he's not here to interrupt.
That is the way it goes, isn't it?
That's got to be the way it is. Next time, of course, you know, Alan will be here to interrupt. We're hoping, and maybe we'll even get to do some work on that phone thingy that we need to have.
That would be nice. I'd like to know how we can. How do you said that the Linux show is trying to figure out how to do that?
Well, no, they want to buy a professional one, but in the past, like this is what they use all the time. They had, I think it's like Kevin, one of the guys there, built this hybrid that they're using now, but
uh-huh.
I guess it doesn't. Maybe it doesn't have some functions they want or something like that, and. You know, not as polished, and they want to get a new one. They want to get a professionally built one. Me, you know, hell, I'd be happy with something that worked. So that, you know, if this kind of situation happens again and we have to do a show, well, we could simply do it. Call right in and hook us all up on the phone and we'd be good to go. And that would be an ideal situation. But at any rate, we should get going. Tell everybody goodbye. Thanks for listening to our show again. This is 16, right? 16, 17?
You're the one keeping track of the numbers, my man.
No, it was 16 last week. This is 17. That's pretty cool, man. Show number 17. We've been doing this for a long time, well over 4 months now. 4 3/4 months, in fact, because we had 2 weeks... over New Year's and Christmas where we didn't do a show, so that would be week 19 for us, but it's show 17 at any rate. Thank you so much for listening. Hopefully we'll have a lot better show for you next week, and we'll get a lot more stuff together. We had a hard time this week just because of the weather, and one of our hosts got called back to work and stuff like that. Thanks for understanding. Appreciate it. Come back and listen again. I noticed there's a lot of you guys that weren't listening to us and weren't hanging out with us on IRC this week. Please, 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 if you get the chance, the show is every week on Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. You can join us on IRC by pointing your server to the linuxlink.net or pointing your IRC client to the linuxlink.net server and joining us on channel Pound Tech Show. And we really like to have all you guys there discussing things with us, and got some cool guys that always hang out with us and put links up and all that other good stuff and keep us paying attention to what we're supposed to be paying attention to. And I guess that's it for tonight. You have anything else to add, Dan?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I'm just, now I'm interested in trying to figure out how to do that with Pine.
I'm rambling on. All right, everybody. My name's Link. You've been listening to the Linux Link Tech Show, episode number 17. Thank you very much for listening. We'll catch you next week. And until then, you can listen to our, I guess, bastardized version of our intro music done by Dan the Man. And then right afterwards, you'll be able to catch the show on a broadcast loop until we go live next week. Have a good night. Stay safe. Be warm. Adios.
Or you can download it from the archives.
Right.
Yeah.
You can download it from
and
the
log, chat log.
But you know, if they're going to listen to it like that, then they will probably already know that the archives are there.
Well, you know what? I don't know if we're going to get a chat log this week.
I got it, man.
You got the whole thing?
From when I got here.
Well, do you have to set up the log before you start chatting? Could I capture what I have now into a log?
You could probably capture what you
have. Well, we'll have some log or something.
We'll make something.
Thanks for listening. Peace out. See you next week. So long, Jen, Joe, Michelle, person in Toronto, Link, and Dead Alan.
Yeah.
Alan's dead to us. No paycheck for him tomorrow.
No paycheck for Alan. He misses out on the tech show penny.
Good night. Stay warm.
Pulling up Link Tech Show.